Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. The other one's Rob Zarek. Let's bring him in.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. How's it goes in with you?
It's going. It's another Tuesday. It's like these Tuesdays, it's always like just goes by so fast. And that's a good
thing. It does.
And I always look forward to our show on Tuesdays. Because we usually have a lot of stuff that goes on during the week, and we get to recap and, you know, talk about a lot of cool things. And we got a lot of stuff coming up, and I am looking forward to everything we got going on and another Tuesday night radio show.
True that. Good stuff.
It is good stuff. That's why I continue to do it. And we've done it for what seems like forever.
Since I was born.
We probably could have, I don't know, we might have been burned out by now.
Yeah. We would have had nothing else to talk about.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll never know.
I don't know. Probably not. True. Very true.
But it's been a long time, I'm guessing. I think it's officially been like 7 years coming up, like within a week or so. I know because I keep getting notifications of our first live broadcast together from an event that we did. And I don't necessarily know the exact date. I know it's coming up. I don't have that written down.
Yeah.
Sorry. So 7 years doing the radio.
That's okay.
Show.
I'm not really a date keeper. So
wow.
I don't.
No, you
need
to tell me that. No. Occasionally I will come up with a cool date and remember stuff, but I don't got
you. I used to also know phone numbers, but now it's like, I don't know.
That's bad.
I know.
Yeah, I don't keep contacts, which you know, and you thought was super weird, and amongst other things you had called it. And I do not keep any numbers saved because I like to remember people's numbers. So if I ever lose my phone, you know, if someone kidnaps me and takes me and throws me in a desert with no phone, you know, without my phone, then at least I know I can call somebody.
Well,
but
I mean,
you never know.
There's
that
universal 911 thing. So, like, yeah.
That's
an important one.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're in a desert, I think 911 sometimes will come to you less quickly than someone you know.
I don't think so. I think that
story.
They would be able to respond much faster. I don't live near the desert, so I seriously doubt like anybody that I would know would be able to
say it's a non-threatening reason.
Okay.
Like boy, I don't know. Let's see. I don't know what the scenario is that you won't be able to come with a comeback, but let's just say something
I've
happened.
Got comebacks for days, like so yeah.
I lose my phone, and I need to get a hold of you for whatever dire reason that is. And the police can't help me, only because...
And Google Contacts doesn't have your stuff saved either. Like, you can't just, like, I understand. That's good for you.
I have to use someone else's phone. I dropped off at a payphone.
Have you seen a payphone lately?
Yes, I have seen
They're
a payphone
like,
lately.
Where?
Okay, so it hasn't been lately, but I saw it at the doctor at the Cleveland Clinic when I went.
Right.
Trying to think where else. They had one at the rec center when I went there a couple years ago. They still have them in the front of there. I don't know. I don't really pay much attention for pay phones, but
yeah.
Let's just say if I ever needed to, I know your number by heart, which I don't think you know mine by heart, and that's sad.
I do.
I'll have to quiz you later.
Yeah, if you do it later, I might not know because I'm going to be too tired, but whatever.
Well, probably because also
I know enough. I'm just saying, like,
it has me calling into the system with my phone number. So you're looking at it right now. You're so cheating.
But I know it regardless because I had a spam caller today that was your area code. But it didn't come up as spam. So I was like, it didn't say fraud detected, you know, spam alert. So I was like, huh? So I answered it. And whoever was just breathing and hung up. But it was your area code. And I was like,
you
what?
You never know with my track.
And the first
of,
three
like,
digits of your phone number were one. It was one up from your, from the first three.
Okay.
So I thought that was, yeah.
Yeah, plus, you know, me, like, every so often, like, you never know what happens. I have, like, some weird stuff happening. So, like, I'm going to be calling from, like, a different. It might have been the scenario. You were like, oh, my God, he's in the desert or something.
Yeah, the desert of Ohio. Right. Not sure that they have that
the
terrain,
lake.
But okay.
He got,
calling
he from
got the lake.
Blown into a lake. Yes. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time during my work days on the lake. And not on the lake.
And they have a, they conveniently have a phone in the at the lake in the lake.
Yeah, you never know.
Oh, Lord.
They're calling to inform you of bad news. You didn't make it.
Right. Anywho,
that might be a real. that would be a realistic reason why you might get a call from my area code. But anyway, why
yeah,
be
anyway.
Morbid to start a show?
Yeah. I don't even know where to go from here.
No, I don't know. I know we have Joni on tonight. I wonder, you know,
yes.
I do wonder, like, how many people ask her, like, you know, with her abilities, hey, when am I going to die?
I don't think that's something that they're allowed to, like, share.
No, I don't think they're allowed to, but I think a lot of people probably ask it.
Well, yeah. Probably. Let's find out. Let's bring her in.
Let's find out when I'm going to die.
Hey, Joni.
Well, hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
I don't know after the beginning of the show.
such an interesting topic we were discussing.
I don't even know how it happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how we got
me?
There. It's one of
is
those where
the
we don't
phones
know.
Or the, is it the payphones or the am I going to die question? Which one? Because I've seen some payphones recently, and I was floored. I couldn't believe I saw them.
Yeah, where did you see them? Because I think they might have a sign that you can pull off the highway and they show a phone. And I don't know if there's really still one there or if it's just like use your phone there. You know, like.
I have no idea. But I was downtown in Toronto, Ontario, and there was a small bank of phones and all of them were ripped out. There's like six that should be there. And they're all empty except one. There was one that was still up. And I was like, oh, wow. Uh-huh. And like I actually took a picture of it and shared it because I was like, who remembers this?
Right.
Did
the
you
lone
actually pick
pay
it up phone. And see if it was functioning?
You know what? I didn't even try, but I seen the light up, so I'm guessing it did. But it looked like somebody
right.
took, like, cigarette lighters and stuff to it because it's pretty mashed up badly. So,
oh, man.
I don't know. But you know what? I bet you this generation today, like the 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds, 12-year-olds, they'll be looking at that going,
they don't
what
even
is that?
Know. Right.
They don't even know. Oh,
exactly.
That's terrible.
Exactly.
Said.
So how about the gonna die thing?
Did you get that
you
question?
Get that
honestly, actually, I just had someone ask me 2 nights ago. I was doing a one-on-one with someone, and they've just, I think they've had one too many funerals this year, and one kind of hit them hard where it made them kind of start guessing or questioning their mortality, and then they had asked me. So I was like, you know, I really love to help you there, but, and I kind of put it to them this way. And this is what I say to a lot of people who do come and ask those questions. I'm like, do you honestly really want to know? Because I think if you found out, like, you know, March 26, 2027 is your death date, you may not even live your life to the fullest as much as you think. You might end up turning around going, what can I do to avoid death? You know?
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, have
yeah,
I ever seen someone's death
labeled
during a read? Sorry?
Well, I was just saying,
okay,
I've been labeled a procrastinator by somebody. And I think if I would know, I might be able to get stuff done. And I've been,
I think we all have that.
Actually labeled me as like the worst procrastinator she's ever met or something really drastic like that. It was like on a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 10. And out of all the people I've ever met
I'm
in 11. My entire life, you procrastinate the most out of anyone I've ever met. I was like, well, that's kind
of
harsh.
Yeah, and then act shocked. No, because then you act shocked when like the deadline's there and you're like, oh my God, I didn't do this. I need help. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, you've known that you had to do it. Like, now, why is it like everybody else needs to pick up the pieces that, you know, you knew it was happening. Like, you don't have a calendar? Come on, man. You know what the date is. Like, you know when you have to have it done. You got to figure out a way to get things done before a certain date. I think if you were going to find out that you were going to die by a certain date, you'd use that as an excuse not to do everything else.
Right, the day before, try to cram everything in.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
No,
right?
I mean, like, I'm not,
you know,
like,
the night before.
I'm not going to go to work.
That's
if
true.
I know that I'm going to die in 2 days, I am not going to show up. Why should I?
Right.
I'm not going to be there
that's
to get
true.
My paycheck. It's going to pay after death. You know, like, there's so many things that I'd be like, screw that. Credit card bill due? Oh, well.
I think it's safe to say, like, if we all kind of knew when our death date would be and it was a sure thing, then you know. Mm-hmm. You're not going to die beforehand, so what are you going to do? You're going to go do the craziest shit you can do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
I'm
going to jumping
make
off
that
a building, whatever it is.
I'll die
exactly.
First.
It's
I'll
like
die way up before it.
Yeah, fourth wall break, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
like,
so I guess
wall,
the question
fourth wall
is,
break coming up.
Even
yeah.
So you tell them, you know, you don't want to tell them, or do you really want to know, but do you know? Do you get that kind of information?
Sometimes I do, actually. Sometimes I do. And I've had a tough decision to make early on in my career was, like, what's the right thing to do? And this was still kind of learning, like, how to work with this. You know what I mean? And that was many years ago. So have I ever told anybody? Not necessarily. It's more like if I seen that someone is going to have an illness and they might pass within the year, and right now in front of me, they're healthy, they're smiling, they're doing great, and then they say, oh, am I going to die? If Spirit says, hey, listen, kind of give them a heads up. The only reason why I think Spirit would do that is because maybe there's something they can do that would change the mm-hmm. course that might better their teaching or learning. So I won't say, yeah, you're going to die in 6 months. Instead, I'd be like,
right.
You know, I think right now the best thing to do is check your health, make sure everything is good, stay on top of your diet, you know, check your blood sugars, you know, or be
mm-hmm.
careful, be more careful because they're showing you're very clumsy. Those are ways
mm-hmm.
that I would tell someone if I could see their mortality in the future. That would be my way of kind of giving them a heads up, you know? But I can't
right, I
directly
just took notes,
say,
just
hey,
in case.
Don't do this.
Yeah, so I guess
yeah,
if you
know.
Ever tell me that, then I know it does not look good. You're like, hey, Rob.
You know, it means
to
take
know.
It serious. Like, yeah, like heads
but here's
up.
Here's the thing, though. As much as, as much as we know this stuff, I sat with somebody who I think it would be 4 years this October that they've passed. And I was telling her, I'm like, you know what? I keep feeling like you really need to stop smoking. I know smoking is a fun thing and you enjoy it. And I always tell people, do what you enjoy, right? But at this point, I was
mm-hmm.
like, you really need to take care of your health. Well, she's like, if I'm
mm-hmm.
going to go out, I'm going to go out with a bang. You know, that was her attitude in life. And you know what? That's how it was for her even towards the end of life. So that's her choice. But she's come in
right.
afterwards. When I sat with the family 2 years later and I'm like, you know, she comes in taking responsibility for her passing. And it's because she could have, should have, or would have done something different. It would have prolonged her life. Right.
Right.
So that's kind of like when I'm sitting with someone and they say, you know, my loved one passed, we want answers or, you know, and I'd say, well, you know what, this person, they may be stepping forward and accepting responsibility. It doesn't always mean suicide like the way we think. It could also
mm-hmm.
mean I knew I was sick. I knew I could have died, but I also knew I could have done things to change that, and I didn't.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of heavy stuff, huh?
Yeah, it was. Woo.
Yeah, but you know what? It's something that a lot of people really do ask. And it's surprising. Mm-hmm. I think the top three questions are, what's my mortality like? Like how long I'm going to live, mm-hmm. right? The other is careers. Mm-hmm. And then most importantly, relationships. Is she the one? Is he the one? You know? And then last but not least, actually the next one that's been coming up a lot this year is babies. Am I going to have a baby? Am I going to have another baby? And it says, wow. Well, we're in COVID, so chances are pretty good.
Right.
Right? We're all in lockdown, so chances are pretty good. Yeah.
Right. Crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Well, I always find it interesting, like, when I talk to, you know, different people with your abilities, like, how stuff comes through. And also, like, you know, if you just randomly get stuff, you know, before the show, we were talking about the crime shows. There's a case mm-hmm. here in Ohio. It's a Sam Shepard case. And Nikki was saying, hey, you should probably watch this show. It's pretty interesting. And I'm familiar with it. And I've always wanted to investigate. Their beach house was moved not too far from here. And I've always tried to get us in. But, like, when stuff happens like that, do you ever get tips and stuff from the spirit, you know, like, or wherever you get your information from about, like, cases like that? Or, like, do you know if someone's guilty or not guilty? And
oh, yeah. I mean, if I didn't do what I'm doing now, if I wasn't working with my abilities, I think the next steps I would have taken would have been towards law enforcement in that area. Because I'm a Scorpio, so I'm naturally inclined to detective stuff, and I'm really interested in that stuff. But in terms of cases, I've actually worked numbers of cases over the years, some cold cases, even active cases. And, you know, there's a smaller pool, a smaller number of people that I was able to help find still alive. And mm-hmm. then, of course, there's, you know, the group of people that we found who have been passed on. But there's even another group where they said, you know, we have so-and-so in custody. You know, what do you think or what do you feel? And with the mm-hmm. law enforcement, you know, to be honest with you guys, like a good 70 to 90%, they got the right person, you know, they got the right, they done their stuff, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. that small group where they kind of went down the wrong path or were pigeonholed, you know, and it's kind of like, no, mm-hmm. spirit's showing me someone else, you know? And it's not always easy because sometimes when you work with law enforcement, some of them are a bit more like skeptical of people like myself. Mm-hmm. So they'll be like, no, I don't want to look at it. But it makes me laugh, like a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road, I find out, oh, they caught the guy that I told them to go look at 5 years ago, you know?
Right.
So it's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the way spirit communicates with mediums is so different from many of us, but there is a main platform that's the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You know, even when you come across people in your daily life, not even reading them, but do you get, like, an indication if they're like a good or a bad person, just, you know, when you're talking to them, even though if they seem like the nicest person in the world, you're like, yeah, this person's got a secret or this person's awful. You know, like, does that happen where you get like kind of not just intuition, but like actual,
like the spirits are like, hey,
that does happen. And I'll tell you, like, my kids hate when I do that, especially when they're bringing new partners around or friends. And I'm like, well, maybe you can have fun with this person for a couple months, but you should really let them go. You know, long term, they need to go. And they don't like it. They don't like it. They're like, Mom, how do you know? Like, you know, I just met this person. They're so great. I'm like, oh, yeah, their soul is great. But I see some other hidden things that you don't yet see. And you know what? Maybe you need to go through it. Hopefully you don't. But, yeah, it has happened. Okay. I've gone out many times and met many people. And to be honest, a lot of people can do this. You guys can do this. And it's what scientists, you know, fearingly call intuition or gut feeling. It's your soul. It's the seed of your soul, your guide. And it's telling you, hey, this person's rubbing you the wrong way for a very good reason. Don't ignore it. You know, and what makes us different is that I pay attention to that, where some people kind of, sometimes they'll look at it, and other times they'll be like, no, I have a bad gut feeling, but you know what, I think they're going to be a good person, so I'm still going to, you know, invest in here, right? So
mm-hmm.
really it's up to the person who's sitting with.
Yeah.
No, I tend to, at a certain point in my life, I decided that if I had that bad, you know, that gut feeling about someone, I was like 10 times mm-hmm. out of 10, I'm right. And even if I took other people's, you know, took what they had to say about that person in the account and stuff, it still was my gut feeling seemed to prevail at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I definitely get that.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how, though, as humans, we tend to have very strong or gut feelings about something. We always struggle with our feelings and our heart, like our mind, you know? So it's kind of like, I have a gut feeling about this person, but my mind's telling me give them a chance, or, you know what, you're being paranoid, you know, don't overthink it. And I always tell people, I'm like, that can happen. And this is where you got to kind of look for that fine line between, are you being paranoid or is this a real thing? So there is a fine line, but I tell people, I'm like, usually you should really pay attention to your gut. Like, your gut is definitely pulling you for a reason, right?
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
No, I definitely get that. And the funny thing, I this is kind of not really related, but I was going to ask you guys about this anyway. And I drive the same route pretty much every day. I don't have a big route that I take. Nicole will tell you everything within like 2 miles.
So funny.
From,
yeah,
it's the same route. But
he's like, oh, I have to go
house.
Here. I'm like, ooh, it's so far. Ooh.
I've been blessed with a low amount of travel time necessary to do anything. Except for investigate. Then it's always like 5 or 6 hours.
Hours, yeah.
But there is a house that I drive by, and I swear every time I drive by, it's like, so this is daily, that it's like calling for me to investigate. It does not look like a typical scary haunted house. It's just a house. But for whatever reason, I get the weirdest, like, oddest, uneasy feeling driving by the single house. So I'm sure, like, that must, if someone with abilities like you have, that must drive you
nuts.
Oh,
yeah. Well, here's the thing, like every house I've moved into, I've always had a pulling to move into the homes that I've lived in. And it's like when I first see it, it kind of gives me that feeling like, oh, my God, like I could just feel something's different here. I move in. Sure enough, it's haunted. But I've learned, and this is what I meant earlier in the conversation when I said, you know, you kind of, for people who work with these abilities, our platform's the same, meaning like we all can sense, feel, hear, and see things. You know, from spirit, some of us see it in one way where others see it in different ways, but our platform that's the same is we follow what we get, right? So it's like psychic charade. Now, I always tell people, Mike, if you start to feel lightheaded, dizzy, or you get like a scary, anxious feeling about something, usually that's your trigger of saying, be careful, watch out. But here's where there can be slightly different if you're somebody who works with spirit. Usually when spirit gets really close to you or you're in a very, very busy spiritual place, you'll still feel that anxious, scary feeling. But when you go on to that place or you go to that person, you'll then realize, oh, it's not actually bad after all. It's just the energy so busy that my human body's response is either fight or flight. And, you know, the human response is one or the other, right? So this is where you got to kind of figure out what's what. And I'm not always good on it because sometimes I've gone to a place where I'm like, okay, I got anxiety. I got the goosebumps. My hair's standing up on end. I have a bad feeling. I should not go in here. And I'm like, screw it. Let's go. And I go in.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I know it's just spirit, you know. And then I'm like, oh, wait, this is really bad. And then I realize, okay, I should listen. But then, you know, there's other times where I had that same feeling. I go in and then I'm like, oh, this is like, you know, walking into Wonderland, you know, into Disneyland. It's so busy with so much activity, but it's not bad. It's just busy. So it's kind of learning how to hone in, how to tell the difference. And it's so subtle. That's the thing. It's very subtle. So you'll know, because, I mean, each person, you have your own kind of knowing. You know, it's what our native culture calls a knowing. You don't know how you know, but you just know, right?
Right. Yeah.
Have you ever gone to a place where, you know, you had that anxious feeling and you went ahead anyway? Like, I know Nikki is like, let's go. And you
that's my feeling.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. And that's what I mean. It's like our human response is we're going to fight it or we're going to flight, right? So Nikki's more of a fighter. She's like, let's get in here, right? Well, maybe Rob's kind of taking a back seat going, you know, this might not be such a good idea. Nikki, how about you go in front of me, you know? And, I mean, how many times have you guys gone in?
That's not true. I never put her in front of me. I might think it's a bad idea, but I'll still, like, go first.
Yeah.
So she doesn't
need that. Overall.
You know, but
no.
I
get pissed and I try, and then I push him out of the way and go first. So, yeah.
And then I fall
right?
down.
But how many times have you guys gone?
Got to call 911.
Yeah.
But how many times have you guys gone where you've realized, okay, you know what? This time she was right about going and I was wrong, or vice versa, or you both were right mm-hmm. about making the choice to go in and turns out to be something good, you know?
I don't think we've had many bad, but it has happened.
We've had some weird, weird things happen, but they always end up being cool because that's what we're looking to have happen. Other people are like, not cool, man. And we're like, no, that was cool.
Hey, listen, I still get scared. I'm human, you know. I sat with spirit plenty of times where, you know, I'm expecting the worst and it ends up being like, okay, it's not that bad, right? But then there's other moments where I feel like, oh, there's just a grandmother energy here. I could sit and talk to her. Halfway through the conversation, something dark comes in, and I'm like, oh, my God. And the grandmother booked it out of the room, and I'm like sitting here by myself going, I should not have come into this room. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. And I get freaked out. I'm like, I'm out of here. You'll see my desk before, you know, anything else.
Right.
Well, I think I just made a comment about this on a recent show, but the only time I can remember being scared on an investigation, it was a singular time, and it was by her. She scared me, and I wasn't paying attention. So there was a room, and then a staircase mm-hmm. that went downstairs, and then, like, another mm-hmm. big room. And I forgot that behind the staircase there was a connecting closet or, like, a little walkway. Mm-hmm. And so she went into the one room, and I'm like, okay, there's a staircase. And then she came out, like, way farther down and past the staircase. And I forgot there was, like, that little adjoining walkway or closet or whatever that was. And I was like, what the hell? And it was her coming out. So it was just like, that was the only time I can recall.
Did you do that on purpose, Nikki,
to
scare him?
No.
Did you do that on purpose to scare him? Oh, that sucks. I'm usually the one that scares people, too. I do, like, jump scares, but it's because I'm with a team that, you know, obviously knows me, or I've gone with a group of friends. Mm-hmm. But they'll always be like, watch out for Joe, because, you know, she's probably hiding somewhere, going to jump out. But, yeah. So I thought this would have been like, Nikki's like, yeah, he's coming down the hall. I'm going to pop right out on him.
Yeah, no, usually I'm like,
each other.
Yeah, no, No, because usually there's cameras rolling, and if I were to physically assault him on camera, it probably wouldn't be cool.
See, I think one time she told me, like, if you ever scare me, I'll do this or that, and then I probably just was embedded in my mind never to do it.
Yeah, probably. Probably so.
Have you guys ever gone anywhere where, like, the investigation itself was really intense, it was really cool, but then after when we finished, like, that stayed with you months later, you know, and it kind of pops up to mind when you're at another place?
Yeah, I think so. I think we always, like, we reference back and forth different investigations and stuff, and I know mm-hmm. there's also, what I found weird is, like, when we have certain devices go off, we both know before they go off. You know, so there is an energy that her and I both can feel. Because I made reference one time. She's like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That makes perfect sense.
And then I described
when I was trying to explain,
it.
I tried to make it, like, I was like, every time before our one device goes off, I get this mm-hmm. feeling, and I know it's going to go off. And she's like, I know exactly what you're saying. So, like, we have that where, you know, that's interesting. Like, I never had that with anyone else. It's really interesting to have been able to describe that and have it where we both get the same sensation. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think there are investigations that have stuck with us and, hey, that reminds me of this, or hey, that reminds me of that.
Oh, yeah.
But we've been on so many.
I think it's not very common. Like, I've been around where I haven't really seen much of where, you know, a team goes in and there's, like, you know, two people, maybe three people who kind of all collectively, hey, I feel this, and then it happens. It's not common that I see it, but I have seen it. I've even had it where I've gone on an investigation myself, and I'm like, oh, you know, this kind of made me think of this place we were at 2 years ago, the Red House. You know, I'm walking into this room, and as I turn to say, like, what the experience was, I remembered the person I'm with, who was with me before. It's kind of like we're both in sync and we both said it, except they're not a medium. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they definitely, like, I can tell you, when you start doing these investigations more and more, if you're truly in tune with yourself, like you're the pitchfork, you know, you're a tuning fork, you'll start picking up the vibrations. As long as you're aware of it and sense it, man, you guys will start getting better and better and better at it, to the point like you guys where you go in, you both look at each other and be like, I feel it. And then ding, the electronics go off, you know? That's
really right. Well, and I think what you said, you know, that's very relevant for our investigating too. I'll be like, hey, this reminds me of that. She's like, yeah, definitely. You know, that this investigation. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, and I've always chalked it up to maybe it's the way that the spirits are trying to communicate. And if they try to communicate in a certain way, you get the same feeling. You know, the way they generate their energy, or the way they pull the energy, or however it is, you know, that energy or the lack of energy or whatever's being, however they're manipulating the room or the situation.
But that's exactly it, though.
You know, make contact. I think that's what gives the, like, what makes it familiar.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And this is something I try to explain to a lot of people. I'm like, you know, spirit has a funny way of communicating with us, and it's honestly the best way I could describe it. It's like playing charades. You know, if you want someone to understand something you're trying to communicate, you're going to do something you know they'll get. So if you're in one location, you had your investigation, time's gone on, you're somewhere else, and all of a sudden it comes to mind, I'm going to tell you, 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10, there's a soul there that is aware of what you experienced before and is trying to tell you, hey, there's something that's the same here, you need to look at this, you know what I mean? And this is they'll play that imagery for you and that memory for you. Because a lot of communication with spirit really is about memory, right? Memory, spirit is sharing, memory of things in the past, you know, and they're sharing it with you. And you're observing it as like it's your own memory, but really it's not yours, it's theirs, right? I know it sounds a little confusing, but I tell people, I'm like, this is kind of like how I work with a lot of spirit, right? When I'm at places, I'll see something and I'll be like, oh, and a memory will come to mind. But I'm like, that's not mine though, you know? So it's really cool
that's
how
cool.
They do that. It is. Yeah.
Well, and I also think there's like different forms of how they can communicate and how they pull energy.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and I think there's, I don't know how many or what it is, but I know, you know, there's a certain way that some can present themselves and others can and can't. And maybe, you know, that's another way to kind of gauge what's going to happen or what you're feeling is the way that it's presented. You know, like I said, I don't have the answers of, you know, how they do it or whatever, but however they formulate a chance to respond to us or communicate with us, I think some do it differently and some do it the same.
And you're absolutely right. And I can give you two quick examples of what I've had out of many. There was one time I went to this place, actually it was a 3-level house. We stayed on the main floor, and they wanted to go to the basement, as always. Everybody wants to go to the basement. And I'm like, no, there's nothing there. Just wait. I said, I feel like we shouldn't go upstairs, but I know we should. You know what I mean? So you ever been to a place where you know, like you're feeling like you shouldn't go in, like you're trespassing? So I went upstairs ahead with one other member. Everybody else was down in the basement. And sure enough, when we got up, and it was only like 7 o'clock at night, a swarm of birds, literally like that movie from Hitchcock, started coming at the window pane. And I
that
was like,
horrible.
What the hell? And it scared the crap out of me. And I was like, hey, we're out of this room. Not only did I feel like I shouldn't be here, but now spirit got the energy of these birds bothered enough that it made them take flight, enough that we noticed, right? So there's one way. They can sometimes, you know, play with Mother Nature or with animals or, you know what I mean? So that's one of
the
ways
the bird
I found that they do that. Yeah, and
I don't do birds.
Get creeped out. You know, I'm like,
I found
what
you a bird.
Things are thinking.
I don't want birds.
No, you can.
I don't
it.
Like birds. I don't like birds.
No, but I found her a bird.
I don't want a bird.
What kind of
okay.
Bird? She's like, hell no.
I'm like,
I'm trying to, a dead bird. We're producing. Dead birds. We've been on investigations. We had dead birds, like, in the rooms. And we had one this summer that was a dead bat that I mistaken for a paranormal device, and I didn't realize.
Yeah, and picked it
up. That was kind of shitty.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
Yeah, that was
nasty.
And, you know, right when they were saying the coronavirus came from bats, and, you know, I was, like, walking around with a bat in my hand. I mean, I really wasn't walking around with it in my hand. It was one of those things, like, you pick it up and you can feel the squish.
You pick it up and you go, not so much, and you throw it back down. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That would have
lost
my stuff.
Bats fly into us or fly into me. Yeah, on an investigation.
The funny thing, on that one though, like, I wasn't fazed, and people like don't believe me.
Yeah, because it flew into my arm. It hit me, and I hit
Yeah, the one you picked up. That was funny. No, I wasn't fazed on that, but the one that hit you, it was funny. We have it on video, and it's a giant bat, and it runs right into our arm. And the camera guys, I don't worry about it.
It's like the size of a pigeon.
And
it was fat as hell, It was a well-fed bat, and I flung it. It flew into my arm, and I instantly swung my arm and flung that bat into a pillar.
Oh, my God.
It was looking for its next victim.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, that creeps me out. I've had a few different animals jump on me. I've had a bat get stuck in my hair, literally. I was in the carpool.
Hell no.
And my husband and I were there at, like, 10 at night, and my husband's fixing his truck, and he's like, yeah, we're just doing it. And I came out to tell him, let's come in and have coffee. And this thing flew out from under the carport, landed in my hair, and I had my hair in a messy bun, and it got stuck, and nobody wanted to grab it to get it out because we didn't want to get bit. And here I'm screaming like a mad woman, shaking my head like crazy. So for bats and birds and, oh, God, no. No.
Yeah, no.
I was like, no.
That's horrible.
So one of the other ways, and it's interesting because, Rob, I know you were mentioning this before, but one of the other ways that I found when spirit really wants your attention, and you're, like, kind of just going through the day, like, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and spirit's like, I'm trying, and this person's just not getting it. They'll start making you very aware of, like, either outside noises or ringing of the ears. And I'm not just talking about ringtone. I'm talking about, like, your ears ringing so much. You're like, I need to go to the hospital. Something's wrong with my ear. I can't hear. This is,
that's
like, deafening.
That's now.
Right? And I
experience that,
a lot.
Now.
So when you get that, it's because spirit's like, ah! You know, they're yelling in your ear. They're like, you're not listening. So their vibration is going to cause, like, what happens when you have vibration happening and you put You put a bucket of water on top of a surface that's vibrating. That water's going to shake, right? So when you have spirit who's vibrating at a high frequency and they come close to you, your sensitive parts, like your eardrums, will start to ring. You go, and you're just going to be like, what's wrong with me? I got to go see a doctor, you know?
Right.
And that's what I tell people. I'm like, you need to pay attention to what's going on around you. And what are you thinking about? What are you feeling? What's happening? You know, because spirit's really trying to get your attention.
Uh-oh, Rob, they're trying to get your attention.
No, I made a joke. I told Joni about it when we were setting up the show real quick, that I had my ears are clogged and they're ringing, but I don't know if they'd be, like, maybe they're trying to get a hold of me for, like, the last day. But I think it has to do
like,
with other
she doesn't
stuff because,
listen.
Yeah, I don't listen. Why start now?
Right. You gave it up for Lynn, huh?
I'm just explaining. I'm just explaining.
Right.
It sometimes works. You know, if you fall in that category, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd wonder.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Could be it.
The only thing I said is that I'm not allowed to Google stuff because when I Google stuff, then next
oh my God,
like,
he WebMDs and he's like, I'm dying. He's like, I looked it
that.
Up. I have to go to the hospital right
earlier.
Now. Yeah, it's horrible.
Doesn't look good.
I'm like,
are
you're not dying.
Usernames and I send her all the usernames and passwords
today,
to all of our accounts.
I heard
my husband
have
was in the backyard.
In case I die. That's true.
He had a little chickadee bird. I think it was a chickadee. It landed on his shoulder today, and he was in the backyard.
Aww.
And he was underneath our porch roof. So it's not common for the birds to fly under there. And one flew and landed on his shoulder, and what did he do? Google, what's going on? And, of course, Google gives him 100 different things. It's either you got bad luck and death is coming, or good luck's on the way. And it's like, what do you believe? Who knows, right? It totally put
it's
us
both
on
of
edge
them.
Today. It's like, well... Right. You know?
And I think you always side with the negative. That's the way I look at it.
Well, yeah, you're kind of like drawn to it. It's like watching an accident. You can't help but watch. You know what I mean? You're drawn to it. You're like, I don't want to see it, but your eyes are drawn. Yeah, I agree.
Well, that's the best part with Google. Like, you could have like something wrong with a toenail, and it turns out like you have like some like it connected.
Must head to the hospital immediately. Right. Go to the hospital immediately.
That's the warning
you may
sign
die.
Of liver disease.
Right.
And like, mm-hmm. It's not looking good for you. Like, oh my God, my toenail. And like, next thing you know is I think I'm dying of kidney failure.
Mm-hmm. We got to amputate now. You don't have time for drugs. We got to amputate now. And Rob's like, oh God.
Yeah. Self.
He's like, self really?
Amputate.
Yeah, then he'll take care of it himself.
Mm-hmm. I could do this. Oh, I could
paper,
do this.
A paper cutter and a bottle of whiskey will be good to go.
Right. Yeah.
I like your thinking.
And some peroxide. It'll make it all better.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. A little bit of rubbing alcohol at a time. Actually, you can do that with the whiskey. I do have
whichever you prefer.
Before
I put it on.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a bum toe. I've been thinking about, like, if I should have it removed or not. So maybe I could do that at home.
Your toe? The
oh,
bum
my
toe
Lord.
Removal?
I don't
you do,
call
you
it
better
bum toe.
It.
I called it the bum toe only for the PC crowd.
Oh my God! Next thing you know, Rob will be telling us he has a nubbin. You know,
I know,
third
right?
nipple. Who knows?
Yeah. He'll be like, and I removed it myself.
Well, I call it my crippled toe, and the top and the bottom are not connected anymore. It's like a real severe hammer toe. So actually, it's not even connected.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, at the joint, the top is not. You know, it's just dangling.
Rob, you're killing me because honestly, I have the top of my big toe is fractured, right? I have a complex fracture, and you're killing me right now because all I'm thinking about is like when I hurt my toe a month and a half ago. I'm like, oh my God, no! I heard the crunch, and I didn't go to the doctor.
Too,
I waited like 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Well, you know, so I grew up in Florida, so, like, even during the winter, I'll wear shorts and no socks and shoes. I just, like, walk barefoot no matter what, even have to go outside. And the bad part is that the crippled toe hangs a little bit lower than the other toe, so, like, I'm always stubbing the crippled toe. And, you know, it might be better off just cut off. I don't know where we got on this topic. But,
I don't know either. I have no idea. I think it was like all of us talking about Googling.
Yeah. Damn it, Google. Damn it, Google.
Yeah, Google.
Yep.
You don't think the joke.
So
I think Googling.
I don't naturally have any kind of like segue from a crippled toe.
Yeah, me either.
So I'm not really sure where to take that. Speaking of crippled toes, I don't know. There's never been in my years of podcasting, I've never had to go from there.
Never had that one.
Crippled toe? Well,
no.
We can segue to, have we ever had a ghost haunt where it didn't have legs or a toe? We can go there because I've seen spirit.
Yeah,
but you know
missing
what?
Body
usually
parts.
When spirit shows up, they only show themselves to me from about the knees up. I never get to see their feet, which is something I've always wondered if other mediums have that. I have no idea.
I don't know. Never asked. We're going to have to ask that now every time.
Now, this leads me to a legitimate question, but it's a little, you know, goofy, I guess. But, like, you know, I know that there's a lot of psychics and mediums who say they see the spirit based on how they want to present themselves to you or to them. You know, if they're younger or older, they might want to present themselves as younger than when they died or whatever. But so if somebody has had, like, an accident or you know, an issue that made like a physical deformation. Are those usually corrected, or do they appear with those physical deformations? Is that how you see them, or do you just know that they had that, but they're not appearing to you as, you know, with
as
one
such.
Arm?
Well, I'll give you an example. When I was working on some murder cases and missing cases, there was a woman that came to me at one point. She showed me herself sitting upright, and she had unfolded herself from a suitcase. And she tried to talk to me, and when she did, her teeth kept falling out of her mouth. And when she tried to catch them with her hand, she had no fingers to close and make a fist to catch her teeth. So that was one that was really difficult. But the reason why I had to see that, because I asked Spirit, if I don't need to see it, don't show it, because I don't want to see it. I mean, I don't do gore movies, right? But Spirit said it was important I see this because the woman who was missing wasn't yet found, and that when they found a body, they said they couldn't identify her because the person cut the fingers and teeth out. And so I had to tell the detective how to find and identify her, and it was actually through her breast. She has surgery. So,
right.
And that's the case where they will show me sometimes how they've gone. But if you're talking about, let's say, somebody who just passed in spirit from whatever cause, wasn't anything too traumatic, whether it's a car crash or a simple passing, if it's not relevant to what needs to be portrayed, they can give me the information without showing it to me. So they may come in, like, let's say, a 70-year-old grandfather passed in a head-on collision. You know, he could show me how he looked, but normally I would ask my guides, like, don't do that, you know? And he'll come in and say, just let my loved ones know I'm okay. And he'll show me how he looked either before the accident or even when he was younger. And then he would give relevance to let them know it really is him by talking about a special pet or a significant piece of jewelry or a conversation that was had beforehand, right? So it really depends on, I guess, the situation. It depends on who's coming through and why. But you see, some mediums, you know, there's what we call physical mediums who feel things, and actually that's one of the things I do. But there's all types of different mediums out there. People think that one medium is just a cookie cutter. I mean, we can do all those things. We can do physical, sight, taste, sound. But some of us are like, I don't want to feel how you died. Just tell me. Do you know what I mean? Where others are like, oh, yeah, show me how you died so I can communicate it better. You see what I mean? So there are some differences, but it depends on the person and the situation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Huh.
Is that good, Rob?
Yeah, no, I just found it interesting because, like, you know, when you hear it, oh, my your grandfather's coming through, you know, they probably would then appear to you as the grandchild, would be my guess. Not like how, you know, like if I die when I'm 70, keep fingers crossed, or 80, you know, I'm going to probably want to come through as when I was, like, in my heyday, like 21. You know, so that's what I just,
well,
you know,
that's usually
if I can
how
pick.
It works. Yeah, that's usually how it works. Like, I had somebody come through a couple days ago who actually died at 96. That was quite a ripe age. And when she came in, she was, like, scented of, like, perfumes, like, that smelled like old school. Do you remember the Avon perfume? That very, like, musky kind of perfume. So she came in making me smell that, but she looked like she was 19. And the woman's like, I don't know who you're talking about. That's not anybody I know. And I said, well, she smells like this perfume.
Right.
And she goes, oh, that had to be Nan, you know. Oh, sorry, not Nan. She said it was Mama or Mau.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it was some way to say grandmother. And I was like, yeah, it's her. But you see how she came in at a real young age, right? But she smells like this certain perfume. So it depends. I mean, usually they'll come in much younger. They almost always do. But they'll let you know, like, hey, I pass at this age, you know?
Don't I look good?
I told them, I said, I'd be coming in when I'm like 23, when I'm at my prime. I'll be coming in.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
That is a good
age, yeah. I've actually done drawings of spirit before where they've actually leaned over my shoulder and were critiquing me, telling me, okay, I didn't know you're going to draw me looking at this age, like here, and then my drawing will change because they want, you know, changes. No, don't make my nose so big. If that's how it was when I was 60, no, go back to when I was like 24 and it was more narrow and I didn't have scars, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I've had that happen.
I could see me doing that. I'd be like, no, take this away, do that. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, we don't know who that is.
Well, it can get frustrating because, you know, I'm like, come on, you know, how's your loved one going to know it's you? I really have to give them detail, you know? But usually it works. Yeah.
That's funny. I love it.
That's pretty interesting. I always found that, you know, I was always curious. It's that they come to you and then you're describing who you're looking at and they're like, I don't know who the hell that is. You know, that. But then, no, so I guess you cleared that up. That's an interesting interesting thing.
Yeah, I think one of the more interesting aspects of the work that I'm doing is whenever I do, like, remote view or I'm at a place, somebody might have, let's say, I go to a historic site, you know. I would say, you know, take everything down that might give me any clues or hints, like, I just to go in blind, right? Because it's more for you than it is me. I know what I'm seeing. But when I go in, that's the fun part for me, is I get to sit there and say, well, this is, I see this gentleman with mutton chops and he has a green, you know, velvet kind of jacket. And they're like, well, she's describing the guy right, but the clothes he's wearing is wrong. And I'm like, no, he's showing it to me. That's what he's wearing. And sure enough, he'll go and do a history search and find out, like, you know, towards the end of life or even at his funeral, he specifically had this costume or uniform or outfit on, you know, that he normally wouldn't wear. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's always fun, too.
Right.
I like to do that. And they'll call me back and they're like, I say, it's your aha moment. You had the aha, oh, my goodness, you know. Like, yeah, that's fun. I like doing that.
That's
I did
funny.
It to a historical research society place I went to. I actually went there for research on my home. And the guy who runs the historical building was very surprised when I started talking about the specific woman. And he took me up to the third floor to show me a portrait of the woman I was talking about. And I'd never been there before. And he was shocked. And he's like, the dress you're talking about is the dress we found in the attic. I'm like, there you go.
Ding, ding, ding.
So, yeah, ding, ding, ding. So that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know we're coming up on the end of our conversation. And, you know, we do a lot of remote views with you and just in general. And, you know, we always are, you know, running late and behind and calling it the last minute.
Always.
Yep. Always. I don't think we've ever been like, hey, in 5 days,
yeah, but that's
call,
fun,
we're
though.
Going to a place. Right. You know, how do you pick up your information? Like, how does it come to you when you give it to us? I don't think we've ever asked that because we don't usually have a ton of time. We're just like, hey, are you ready in 5 minutes? And then we'll call you in 20. You know, make you sit and wait.
Well, just so you guys know, that's actually, and you know what, Rob and Nick, just so you guys know, it's actually my preferred way is when someone goes somewhere and they want to do a walkthrough, I'm always telling them, don't tell me where you are. Don't tell me, you know, call me the moment you're in there and you're ready. You know what I mean? So that way it's blind, it's fresh. I don't have time to sit with it. It's just coming organically. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when you call me, it's almost like I'm turning the radio that's already on in the background. I'm just turning up the volume. That's what I do.
Right.
And so when I'm turning up that volume to spirit, I'm like, okay, guys, I need to communicate with somebody, you know, and I start trying to visually, I close my eyes and I try to visualize seeing your faces first. And wherever I see your faces, it'll start to show me, like, the background of you standing in a hallway or a long corridor or in a room. And then I start asking them, show me what the room looks like. And so spirit will start to communicate and work with me and build a photo, you know, in my mind's eye of where you're at. As they're doing that, it will notify or let other souls know somebody's connecting. Somebody, it's like me, you know, calling and making a phone call. And spirit hears a telephone ring. They come to the room to answer the phone. You know what I mean? And that's always interesting when we do that. I really like doing remote viewing. It's actually something that I really want to work more with. I find it's more interesting that way. Because it's really like...
I should
I
have
mean,
you do the place I'm at right now.
We could do that right now if you want.
That would be so cool. It would probably take too long for the amount of time we have, but I should do that sometime. See if you pick anything
up. Yeah.
That would be so cool. Oh, yeah.
So if we can
I'm
do
down.
Stuff, though, if you know ahead of time, you know,
like if there's somebody,
say if we say, hey, we're
going to
be there in
to?
5 days, but we don't give you the information,
uh-huh.
you start picking up stuff. Even if we give you no information, you just know in 5 days we're going to call you. You start getting
if
stuff
you,
already.
You could do that, but it's easier if I, like I'm connecting to your energy. That's what makes the remote viewing kind of work. So, like, if I'm working on a missing case, like, there was a little boy a couple years back in Colorado where we found him, you know, obviously 2 years too late, but they couldn't find him. So the mother had reached out to law enforcement and communicated with investigators, and I said, you know, the only thing I'm going to need is maybe give me the first name of the child. You don't have to tell them the age or nothing, but give me the first name and maybe a photo of the child or the person, you know what I mean? And sometimes just that in itself is enough for me to have, like, what I call, like, the tether, you're connecting, right? And it makes it a little bit easier. So, like, for example, if you and Rob want to go somewhere in 5 days and you're like, let's see if JoJo gets anything, if it's at all possible without giving away anything, I would say try and see if you can get in that place sooner and get photos of, like, a room or a closet, something that's nondescript but is connected to the place or the person. And send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could probably pick up information as is just from, you know, even a closet door. And I could say, you know what, I'm feeling this. I feel like this is what's coming through. I'm being shown this and I'm hearing this, you know. I always tell people, I give it a try.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, we've done it before. You remember when we were talking, I said, where's the statue? Something to do with the Virgin Mary or something. And you guys were at that location. And I said, I see a lot of green, and you guys showed after a photo of the Virgin Mary, and there was a lot of green. You remember that?
I do.
And I had never been there before. You guys didn't even show anything. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Right. That's
I remember
so cool.
talking about a statue being there that didn't belong there originally, and it was brought in, or and it had some attachments. And I think you guys said that the statue came from somewhere else, and it was found in a weird place and brought in. So it is, I mean, it's interesting how spirit works. I can never fully explain the ins and outs. I can only explain kind of like how I get it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I had a parapsychologist. Sorry?
I said that's the fun part for us is getting to hear, you know, how everyone functions. And then,
yeah,
you know, then it helps us too, because then we know, like what you just, you know, told us, then we know that,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you function. Because if there's other people that say, you know, other psychics or mediums that say, hey, if you tell me that you're going somewhere, I'll start getting visions of that place immediately. You know, so
right.
which mm-hmm. I you know, so it depends on each person and how they function. It
yeah,
helps us too
exactly.
to know.
Exactly.
Totally.
I always tell people, I'm like, we can all read the same book, but we all have a different take on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the same
yeah.
thing. I actually had a parapsychologist in Texas last year who said that he's very interested. He would love to study me as I do reads. And because of COVID, I've been grounded where I can't travel. But I'm waiting for
right.
that to lift, because that's one of the things I'm so deadly interested in, is I'd love to sit down and have scientists, like, map my brain out as I do reads, as I do remote
right.
viewing, as I do psychic drawings, you know, reading of a loved one. Like, I'm curious. I want to know, you know. I mean, I've gone
right.
for MRI scans twice. My husband's with me. It was my turn. And they said the MRI scan machine broke down, which hasn't done in 10 years. And it did it twice when I was there.
Wow.
So my husband's like, you're definitely a witch.
You're
no,
breaking
no
it.
No joke. It is, I'm telling you, it's not even a joke, not even a close exaggeration. It was facts that happened. And when the woman scheduled me to come back like 2-3 weeks later, it happened the second time. And that's when my husband's like, you're a witch. I was like, no, I just have a lot of energy. You know.
Then they didn't schedule
well,
you anymore? Yeah. Right.
No, I went back a third time, but I actually had to go to a different x-ray place.
That's funny.
And
they were like, yeah, we're
going to
make your schedule
us.
Elsewhere. Right.
Yeah, she did. And she's like,
well,
we're going to send
you
actually you to the
plug
hospital.
Before we let you go, is there anything can you plug all your pages and sites and anything you want to plug?
Yeah.
We're coming in. We have about 2 minutes left. So.
Sure. So anybody who's interested in booking a reading with me one-on-one, I do have my rates for half hour, 1 hour, and even group readings and gallery readings. You can find me on Facebook at Joanie White Buffalo. So J-O-A-N-N-I-E, Joanie White Buffalo, on Facebook every Saturday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is when I do live free mini readings. So thank you.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
sure,
thanks for joining
sweet.
Us tonight. This is
yes, thank
oh,
you.
It was fun.
It was fun.
It was good to
always...
you guys. I miss you guys.
Yeah, it was a little insight into
here
your
we
world,
are.
So we appreciate that.
Now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know if you say,
what?
Hey, you should maybe cut back on doing this, or you should start doing this health-wise. That's not a good thing.
Time to
you
listen.
You know what?
Right.
I will make sure to keep my mind to that. My husband is still trying to figure me out. It's been 20 years, so good luck.
Right.
Right.
That's funny.
Well,
all right,
we'll
my guys,
you
take care.
Us.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you,
you
again
too.
So much for having me. I love you both. Have a good night.
Love you too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
That was fun.
It was. Did you ever notice whenever we have a guest, they're like, we love you guys. I always just let you do the love you too back. I've never, it just wouldn't sound right. I think that would
but
be one
we
of those
do,
things
because
you'd like,
you know
you
what?
Never say that again. No, we do.
Yeah,
because
you would
I
sound
you
weird. We do.
And
we appreciate
yeah,
them,
I
and we love what they
for,
do. And just, you know, I'm fascinated by it, and I'm ultimately super jealous because I wish I could do those kind of things. And apparently I can, but, you know, I don't know. Not like they do. I like it. It's kind of like when
no.
with cooking. I like it better when other people do it. Mm-hmm.
I think we kind of – I think you and I both have some abilities, but we use them in – the way we function with our ghost hunting and
yeah.
and
Well, they're yelling in my ear. We have 7 seconds. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Now we're down to zero. Mm-hmm.
Jeez. All right. Well,
I know. Time flies when you're having fun.
We'll hear from everyone next Tuesday.
Yep. Everyone have a great week. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.